Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening? It's 8:04 on a Sunday night. You know what time it is. It's time for Sound Off Forum with George Beverly, a.k.a. G-Bev. I'd like to welcome and thank you for tuning in. Let me bring in Ms. Claudia real quick. Hello, ma'am.
Yes, hi.
Hey.
I'm going to be on your show.
So, yeah, we're about to get started. I got a few little things that I have to do before I do my show. So once I do that, then we'll jump right into the interview. I'm excited. Like I said, I was just watching your videos on YouTube, and they're so cute.
Thank you.
Like we always do, guys, we're going to kick it off with this little informational thing that we always do. You know how we do it. So you can find me at Facebook at george.mango.904. That's george.mango.904. You can find me on Twitter at hashtag soundoff97413. That's hashtag soundoff97413. I also started a Instagram page. Not really knowing what I'm doing, but apparently that's the hottest thing smoking. I'm not really one of the kind of guys to do that, but since you guys do it and you want me to do it, I do it. So you can find me at gbev3 on Instagram, or you can just type in Sound Off Forum, and you can find me there. You also can call in tonight and talk to us and my special guest and her wonderful career that she's having. If you're interested in having any type of do you have any questions or anything like that, you can call in at area code 541. Oh, I apologize. 516. I'm going to give you my number. 516-666-9874. That's area code 516-666-9874. And as we usually do, always, we always kick it with Ephesians 6:6-13. Not with eye service as man pleases, but the service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing whatever so doeth good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be he be bond or free. And ye, master, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that the master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with them. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in these places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day and all to have to do to stand. All right. So, Miss Claudia, would you like to introduce yourself? Just tell everybody just a little bit about yourself.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be on your show. This is Claudia Florence Fatalka, and I am a plus-size model and actress all the way from Austria, but making my mark in the United States.
Sweet. Now you said you're from Austria, right?
Correct.
And so, okay, I lived in Germany for 7 years. Never made it to Austria, but I know it's a beautiful place because that's where what they call the Cinderella Castle, the Disney Castle, isn't it in Austria?
That's not in Austria, but what's filmed in Austria and what's really famous for is the Sound of Music.
Yes. Oh, that's so beautiful. My wife introduced me to that movie like 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Thanks. Hey, I got to keep it real.
I mean, I'm from Austria, but it took me a long time to actually watch the whole movie because I'm not a big fan of musicals, but I had to sit down and watch it so I knew what everyone was talking about, because people would always come up to me and say, "Oh, my God, you're from Austria. That's where they filmed The Sound of Music. I love this movie." And I'm like, "Oh, I've never seen this movie. I'm going to watch it."
Oh, my God. That is so funny. That is awesome. Is there a story behind your two names? Is it Florence Fatalka?
Florence is my middle name, and then Fatalka is my last name. But I, in my profession, I kind of just go by Claudia Florence because it's very hard for people to pronounce Fatalka. And I think Claudia Florence has a way better sound to it than Claudia Florence Fatalka.
It got that, like, you know, take you two rounds around the world and snap back, you know. I'm Claudia Florence. I'm going to take you around and back, girl. Here we go. This is who I am. I think it's kind of, you got a little funk on it, you know. Shoot. Next thing you know, you're going to have a clothing line. You wearing that Florence? Yeah, I'm wearing that Florence.
I already have a clothing line.
What? Let's talk about that, dude.
Yes, I have the Claudia Florence collection. Right now it's in one store, and it's called designerandco.com, but eventually it's going to be in more stores. And we're working on getting it in a physical store. Right now it's just in an online store, but right now we're in the process of working on opening our first physical store in New York.
What? You work it, girl. You work it. Dude, I hope I can get a YouTube invite.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
For your launch party or something. I mean, we gotta blow this up. I think I started off this interview a little silly because I don't know. I was watching a video and you were just laughing and you have such a great laugh. I was watching it with. What's his name? Ramon Vincent.
Okay.
Yeah. I was watching that video, and you're trying to say his name, and he's like, "That's all right. I never heard it pronounced that way." But I was loving it because every time I see you, you're so always so serious, and so we're not like. Close friends, like, I don't know you, I just follow you on Facebook and whatnot. And so when I saw you laughing like that, I was like, oh, gosh, you're funny.
Yeah, and on my YouTube, actually, I do YouTube blogging, and I have a very successful YouTube channel. I have, like, over 3 million views, and I kind of show, like, my, you know, what I do every day, and then I also post, like, things when I do photo shoots behind the scenes. And I kind of let my guard down because I want my fans to get to know who I am. And, yeah, I am a big goofball. I mean, my friends always say I'm in the wrong profession. They say I should be a stand-up comedian because I make everybody laugh. And then plus, I don't know if you've seen, there's one really famous video on my YouTube channel. It's about where I describe how it feels like as a fat chick to be in an airplane seat. So a lot of people comment on that one because it's very funny. But that's what I like to do. I like to take serious situations but still have some humor with it because you got to have some sense of humor.
Right. Oh, okay. Here it goes. But could I play it?
Of course. Go ahead.
I'm playing it now. So, let me turn up the volume. So for you guys, Claudia has a YouTube video.
Welcome back to ClaudiaFlorence.com. Today, I'm doing something different. I mean, y'all know I'm a blogger and all, but I wanted to do something like to connect with my fans, to show my personality. I was going to accuse of being funny. And there's a lot of controversy right now about plus size women and airplanes. So I want to draw some attention to this. And there's some airplanes, for example, American Airlines, who want to charge us for another seat. Now, first of all, the seats are way too small to begin with because we're like overpowering the plane by adding more and more and more seats to the plane because they're clearly they want to make more and more money. And then second of all, what am I supposed to call a second seat? Cloudy part two. And if you should lift me in my second seat, my so-called bath seat, that would be fine. And I'm looking at the seat. And I'm like, oh, now I have to put my big butt in this seat for 8 or 12 hours when I'm flying to Europe. Oh, and I'm like dancing around, trying to, like, you know, duck the seat, wait until the last second before I have to go in because it's painful, right? Because, y'all, boy, y'all, this one is tight, but like I say, it's nothing close to the seat in the airplane. Because in the airplane, one of my fat is just spilling in every direction. Okay, so I'm going on the seat. And you see this? My fat is pouring over the seat. So, everything, of course, since I'm a tall chick, I'm 6 foot, so they put me always on the box seat. So I have no people in front of me, thank God, because and if I have to have, like, people in front of me, they always will put the seat back and I lay in my lap. I'm not having nobody in my lap unless you take me out to dinner first, okay? So, and I have pretty much should have been So thank you for watching MyLittleLoss.com. My little comedy episode, I'm talking about everyday life experiences as me as a Black Dog woman. So I hope you enjoyed it, and feel free to visit my website and many more episodes like that that I got. MyLittleLoss is speaking out.
Okay, I am so sorry that I was laughing so hard, but that was funny. that was a very, you know, the props made the video. I mean, so
yes,
they
did.
Do you take the cup and actually throw it when you're done with it?
I mean, I don't actually draw it on the plane, but I was just trying to be funny in the video.
Oh, you did succeed. Ooh, okay, let's get back to. Oh, that was awesome. Oh man, I don't even know where to go from there. That's just great. Okay, so let me start off like a professional, and let's start over. Oh, that was just so great. Okay, so how long have you been modeling?
I've only done it for 4 years, and
okay.
And I got, excuse me?
I said okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I actually got into it kind of, I mean, you can either say it by accident or by faith, because I was supposed to, when I don't do modeling, I work as a professional chef, and a photographer had a photo session. And I was supposed to do the cooking for that event. And that was on the 4th of July. And none of the models showed up. And so then I ended up, he said, okay, you know what, I'm just going to take pictures of the most beautiful girl here. And I'm looking around because I'm like having barbecue sauce dripping down my shirt. I'm not having any makeup on. I'm like, okay, who is he seeing that I'm not seeing? And then he said, no, I'm going to take pictures of you. And I'm like, okay, fine, let's do it. And so we took the pictures, and people just went ballistic over it, like crazy over it. And so I of course, immediately thought, okay, beginner's luck. So then I said, okay, let's do another shoot and see how people react to it. And overnight, like, in a success. Like, I got bookings and my numbers went way up, and then I started the YouTube channel, and it just went crazy from there.
Right, right. So what did that do for your self-esteem? Did you always have a high self-esteem?
I always had a lot of confidence in my body and myself. I mean, ever since, I mean, there's a little story behind me, if I'm allowed to tell that story. When
sure.
I first came to the United States, I was actually skinny. I mean, and then within 6 months, I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is a hormonal disease, and I started gaining a lot of weight very rapidly. I mean, I was like, all of a sudden, within 6 months, I was like over 300 pounds. And my original goal to come to the United States was to be an actress. And I was never, well, do a little bit of modeling, but my main focus was doing acting. But then when I gained all this weight, I knew Hollywood would not accept my size. So I started taking all kinds of diet pills and everything to lose this weight. And then, unfortunately, I destroyed my body with it, because what a lot of people don't know, diet pills, the side effect is it damages your heart tissue. And then I ended up with an aortic aneurysm, and I almost died. So by the grace of God, I'm still alive. And so I told myself from that moment on, forget it. I don't care what society thinks is beautiful. I'm going to show the world that I can be beautiful at my size. And so that's what I'm ever, that's what I've set out to do, and there's no stopping me.
Well, amen. I'm glad that you took it and you flipped it and gained power from your, you know, from everything that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would have a lot of people would have given up on themselves and their dreams. And, you know, this is the reason why I like doing shows like this, is because it promotes women who are fighting hard to put their story out there by any means necessary. Really, I mean that's a great story. You came from Austria to America with big dreams of being a Hollywood actress, and you still were being sought out in that same capacity. So that's really awesome.
Mhm. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's very important that I make a difference. You know, I mean, I always say, if I can convince one lady or one young girl out there to love her body the way she is, the way God blessed her with, then my job is done, you know, because I don't want nobody to go through what I had to go through. I mean, having this, you know, getting told all of a sudden, oh, my God, you have an open heart surgery to do, and of course, painful, too. I mean, getting your whole chest cracked open, it's very painful. And if I can spare that pain to another young lady, then that's what I feel like, why God put me in this position, to really like show and teach women with my confidence that, hey, you can be beautiful too. Don't listen to those standards. Don't look at the magazines. You know, I mean, the magazines have a bunch of women in there, you know, slimmer women with Photoshop beyond Photoshop, and then a lot of women compare themselves to this. Oh my God, I want to look like this person, but in reality, even that person doesn't look like that in real person either, because it's very, you know, Photoshopped and edited. And I just want women to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I'm enough, I'm beautiful.
I mean, that's definitely a good thing for kids, young women, I should say, in this age, because there's a lot of, I know when I grew up, there was a lot of non-size acceptance about how you should look and how you shouldn't look. And as I'm older, it seems like younger kids are starting to be like, okay, it's okay to have a thick woman or a bigger woman or a plus-size woman. When you model, and they and you are approaching a company, or a company is approaching you, when they use the word plus size modeling, is there a difference as far as the size range, as far as clothing? How they put you in a category? Is there, I guess the question I'm trying to ask is there a category between being a plus size model inside of being a plus size model, like, or is this a small size model and then there's the bigger size model? Is there when they approach you, do they approach you for the size that you are, or do they want you to lose weight?
Well, the problem is with a lot of companies, a lot of the major companies, they will more focus in on having models at a smaller size, like size 16, 14, 16. So my size is not really in hot demand, because a lot of companies still feel the need that models in my size are not considered beautiful yet. So there's still a really big fight ahead of me for this one, because I do get a lot of no's, but I'm determined to, you know, break that door open, even if it's shut right in front of my face. I'm determined. But it's very sad, because a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, a lot of plus size ladies, they want to see the outfit, what does it look like on my size? But the companies are not really willing to do that yet. And it's also with, like, modeling agencies. They want to go for the smaller. Like my size, good luck getting a contract with a modeling agency. I mean, not going to happen, because they just do not want to sign somebody over size 18.
What about the fashion? Do you wear your own designs, or do you get designs from other fashion companies?
I get designs from other fashion companies. I mean, I'm an ambassador for a few brand ambassador for a few companies. I mean, one major one that I will be representing in the New York Fashion Week this February is Artwear. So those companies that I'm a brand ambassador, they give me their clothing, and then I get, you know, I'm fortunate enough I get to wear that and show off that brand very proudly.
So do they give you extra clothing so you can model on your sites or just advertise because you're an ambassador?
Yes, they do.
Have you taken advantage of that and took some photos in your photo shoots recently?
Yeah, I mean, all my photo shoots pretty much from clothing that I got from designers and stuff. So,
oh, okay. Oh. Because of, you consider yourself a brand, who are you really, and what do you represent?
I mean, I am, you know, I'm basically an entertainer. I mean, I do modeling, I do acting, I do, you know, I'm body positive activist and spokesmodel. So, I mean, I just basically represent body positivity and size acceptance.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Have you always wanted to promote being a plus-size model and your dream of seeing other women come behind you and say, you know, Claudia was the one who inspired me. Claudia was the one who helped me build my self-confidence up. Have you ever thought about that?
I mean, to be honest, originally I just was focused on acting. That was like my main thing because I never really thought that there was an opening for modeling, like bigger, because, you know, I was like so many other young women. I was always brainwashed that you had to be, you know, a bony stick in order to do modeling. And so I'm like, well, that's out.
Right.
I never really focused on it. And then when I got that opportunity to shoot with that photographer and people were like, so like, oh my God, who is she? I was like, what? I mean, if someone would have told me I'm going to be modeling at this size, and I would have been like, you're crazy. You know, you need to sit down and take a break or something, because I didn't know this was opening. But I mean, I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity. And yes, I have a lot of ladies come up to me and say, you inspire me. I feel so much more confident because of you. I have even husbands contact me saying, thank you so much. My wife watched you and she's now way more comfortable in her own skin and loves her body. And the marriage is much better because of that. I mean, I get so many. I mean, I even got, there was a supermodel who contacted me, and that shocked me because she was a supermodel. And she was a supermodel from Cuba, and Brazil. And she contacted me, and she said, you know, I never felt comfortable posing in a bikini. And I looked at it, and I'm like, what? I mean, she's gorgeous. I mean, to me, she looked like a gorgeous lady. But she said, you inspire me to do my first bikini shoot, because I've done also a photo shoot in a bikini. And she's like, you inspired me to do that. And I was just floored, but to the same time, very, very honored and humbled, because to make such a difference. I mean, even now it's like, yes, it's hard to get constantly told, no, you're too big. But I couldn't even quit if I wanted to, because I have so many people looking up to me that I have like a responsibility almost to keep going, to keep motivating, to keep inspiring, and that keeps me going.
Right. Everybody's not, you know, made of steel, and I know you have your hard days and tough times, but I applaud you for everything that you do for the plus size community. I'm looking at a picture right now of you and Tess. Are you Tess Holliday? Have you talked to her often about the things that you have done and what you're going to do?
Yeah, Tess and I, we're actually friends. And, yes, we talk about our struggles in this plus-size community. Go ahead.
I guess the way I want to, like, frame it is because she can do it, you believe that you can do it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, Tess is actually somebody that inspired me. I mean, she's like one of my inspirations. And, I mean, it started off me admiring her and her craft, and we end up developing a friendship. And now I have, like, the double bonus because I have this amazing woman that inspired me also to be a beautiful friend at the same time.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your pictures, and you're so photogenic.
Thank you.
That I don't think that you, I don't think you do any editing to your photos. It doesn't look like it, but it's just you're so. I haven't seen a lady, I mean, like yourself. You don't have any blemishes and things like that. How do you help keep your physique and your skin looking youthful?
I mean, I'm kind of lucky with my skin. It runs in my family. I have very good skin. But then to the same time, I do watch what I eat. I mean, I try to not stay away from fried food, of course, and I make sure to drink plenty of water. And I don't even use any creams or anything like that. My secret is olive oil. I mean, sorry, not olive oil. What is it called? Coconut oil. That's all I put on my skin. So at the end of the day, I obviously wash my face and then I put coconut oil on and that's my trick. And you know, I do work out every day. I mean, at least five times a week. And then I try to watch what I eat. I mean, I have a sweet tooth. I'm not going to deny myself. I do enjoy food, but I just try to make sure I'm making healthy choices. And you know, on days that I make not such healthy choices, I make sure the next meal is a healthy one. I mean, you got to live a little bit, too.
Yeah, I was about to say, you said, you know, you try to stay away from fried foods. I'm like, you can have chicken wings, like one chicken wing.
I can
wing
have what?
A chicken wing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love me some chicken wings.
I'm like, that's my kryptonite. I can't. I love chicken wings. I ain't going to even go there with that. But
yeah, me too.
I was like, you can't get your chicken wings.
No, I mean,
Lord
I pretty
Jesus.
Much, you know, I eat everything but in moderation, and I don't, you know, obviously I'm not going to, I always joke around with my friends when they ask me, what's your diet? And I say, my diet is my seafood diet, whatever I see, I eat. So, that's my diet. But I mean, at the same time, I'm like in moderation, you know. I mean, if I want some pizza, I'm not going to have a whole pizza. I might have a slice. I mean, that's
right.
Pretty much how I do it. I mean, I know a lot of people look at me and they're thinking, oh, my God, she's probably sitting on the couch and shuffling down like 2-3 pizzas, but it's not like this. I mean, the reason why I'm big is because I have a hormonal disease. I mean, I can exercise like a maniac and eat just salads, and I will probably lose a half an ounce, and that's it. And for me, it's not worth it. I mean, I don't want to, I mean, I want to live, you know. I mean, God put me on this earth to enjoy life, not to be miserable. So I just decided, you know what, this is my body, and I'm going to love it. I mean, I still exercise. I'm also a brown belt in Taekwondo. I mean, I'm very, you know, I can outrun anybody. So.
I don't have to go out to.
Yeah, I'm a brown belt.
Oh, I thought I was talking about. You said you could outrun anybody. Oh, my bad.
I can outrun anybody.
All right, let's do it. Let's make a marathon and then donate it to charity. No, let's do it. I'm not running anywhere these days. Wow, I've really gotten off the track. I'm usually not this funny, but so do you? The next question I have is: do you let your weight define who you are, or do you, are you just as a person? Period. You say that my weight don't define me. I'm more than my weight.
Absolutely. I mean, I do not let my weight hold me back or define me. I am who I am, and I'm beautiful. And if people have a problem with it, you don't have to look at me. I'm looking at myself every day, and I like what I see. If you don't, hey, that's your problem, not mine. I mean, I also like... When I first started this, a lot of people called me fat. And
right.
There was a time when fat, like, you know, I mean, when you call a bigger lady fat, it takes them back. It takes them like, oh, my God, you know, like you just got attacked in the worst way. And it would, like, I would, like, sit home and cry and all that. And then I kind of, like, really took my power back. And I looked at the word, and I'm like, you know what? Fat is actually a good term. Like, if you say I have a fat bank account, it's positive. If you say I have a fat wallet, it's positive. If like in some countries, if you're fat, that's considered, you know, you're well off because you're able to eat and everything. So I just, you know, I started examining this word, and I just made a decision in my mind. You can call me fat, but it's not going to affect me anymore. I will not allow that word to hurt me anymore. And now it's like when people call me fat, I say, thank you. Thank you for noticing. Either that, and if they are really mean, I just say, you know what? I can lose weight, but you can't get any smarter. So that usually sets people back, like, what did you just say?
Okay, so I see the picture of you and his name Billy
Blanks.
Yes, the Tybo King. Was that your teacher? I don't know what his title would be. Is that who you trained?
Yeah,
under?
That was. Yes, that's the one who trained me in martial arts.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
A lot of people don't know that about him, but he actually has the 9th degree black belt in Taekwondo, and he also has five other black belts and five other martial arts categories.
So I can just walk up to him and try to punch him. He'd get me, right?
Oh, yes, he will get you, and you might be flying to the wall. Sorry, I've seen it.
I'm military trained. I mean, you know, I know a little bit. Shoot,
he's very military.
What's that?
He's very military, like with the training, yeah. It's poodle. I mean, sometimes among other martial artists, we always say, okay, I better go home and go on the aspirin diet, which means we're so much in pain that we better take some aspirin so tomorrow we can walk.
Wow. Man. I don't do all that. What? Man! You got a karate kick and your heels out, everything. What is going on? Okay, stop tripping over here. Like, what the world? Okay, you really is karate girl. There was a picture of you with you kicking with Billy Blanks, and I'm like, man, that's my face, because you said you were 6 feet tall?
Yes.
That's without heels?
Yes.
Well, Jesus. Don't even ask me how tall I'm at. I am. I don't even want to tell you now. Lord. All I'm saying is wear flat. Wow. I am so short. Okay. So let's move on to the next one. So what are some things that you love to do when you're not working?
When I don't work, I love to paint. I mean, that's one of my passions. And then also I do a lot of volunteering. You know, I do like kitten rescue. I also volunteer in like children hospitals and stuff like that. I mean, I get really great pleasure out of that.
Oh, awesome. Are there some things that would prevent you from continuing to do that? Like, do you feel like because you're a plus size model, it gives you an opportunity to expose yourself and your brand to charities, or do you feel like sometimes it might hurt your career?
I don't think it would hurt my career. I mean, I mean, one thing that I have always done, I've been true to myself. Like, I mean, yes, this whole career came about and I mean, I'm going to be honest. People always ask me, like, what is it about you? Why do so many people love you? Why do so many people follow you? And I honestly have to say, I don't know. You know, I don't know what it is about me. All I can say is it's God doing. And you know, I'm always doing what I like to do and what makes me happy. So when I do different charities, it's like this is what my heart wants to do. If somebody has an issue with it, I'm not going to, you know, stop it because somebody has an issue with it. I mean, so far, all my fans pretty much embraced everything that I do, and I'm very fortunate for that. But I would never let anybody stop me or change me or be somebody they want me to be, because I always told myself, okay, now I'm in the limelight, but I will always be true to myself. I'm not going to be fake or nothing. I just want to be who I'm meant to be, you know, how I was created.
And that, to me, is very, very important. I love the way that you answer that question, because for some people can't handle fame. You know, they can't handle being in a superior position, because they feel like they're untouchable or they have to be a certain way. And I think you should always be yourself. I don't understand how people cannot be themselves. But, I mean, for me, I don't know really how to explain it, I guess. I've always been liked. I've never had a lot of drama in my life. Unless I made it. But as far as being who I am, it was always the thing of always telling the truth. I guess this army, the army values of what I believe, but always tell the truth, always be loyal, always be honorable, and respect people for who they are or who they're going to be. Because, you know, everybody changes. So everybody has an opinion, and when they do change, you have to be there to support them. And the best way to support them is to know them. And if you know that they're not being who they are, then they need to be corrected and say, you know, hey, this is not who you really are. You know, I mean, you're a good person. You could do better than that. And sometimes people don't even want to hear that. But But that's awesome. I mean, in your free time, you love doing things like that. And I think more people, if they spent more time complaining about society and actually working with those groups or the things that they're interested in, then I think the world would be a whole lot better place, because they would actually understand what it takes to be a better person. Like, you know, I was talking to this person yesterday online on my radio show, and they were like, why can't people move to find jobs? And I said, have you ever tried to move across the country? And it's like, yeah, I did it. But just because you did it doesn't mean that everybody can afford that. Everybody's not in the same financial situation. And I asked them, asked the person, have you ever worked in a homeless shelter? Or have you ever been to a homeless shelter? And what the processes they have to go through in order to even just get food or even just get a place to stay.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I've never done that. And I think instead of putting judgment on people, I think they need to actually touch the what they call the rubber to the pavement. But I'm sorry.
Yeah. I totally agree you. And that's like one part that, I mean, yes, I have a lot of following. I have a lot of fans, but I'm not considered, you know, the big time celebrity yet. Like, for example, on Ashley Graham right now, where I'm on every cover. But I cannot wait to reach that point, because in order to make a difference and stuff, like, you know, like a big difference, a big mark, you need a big voice. And I cannot wait until I get that voice so I can do good and you know, make changes in this world. And that's one thing that's upsetting me dearly. Like, I see so many celebrities, they get this blessing, you know, millions and millions of dollars. And instead of giving back and doing something with that or with the name, they want to go on drugs. They want to buy $100,000 purses. I mean, it's just, to me, it's really, really silly. It's like, you know, for that $100,000 purse, if you would have taken that money and built, you could have built, whatever, 2 homeless shelters or something and helped I don't know how many people. And that's why I cannot wait to get to that point. I mean, when I get to that point, oh, my God, people are going to get sick and tired of my face, because I will be doing so much good things that they're going to just going to be like, oh, God, here she goes again.
Right. But that's what we need in our society. We need those people to make a commitment to things that they have seen when they aspired. They didn't forget about those people, and I just think that's just an awesome way to think. Because the first thing they say, if you were ever rich, what would you do? And the first thing they would say is, I'll buy a big house and a car. Like, come on, really? All right. Buy a car and buy a house you can afford to pay for in cash, so that way you don't have any debt. I don't want to get on the soapbox, but excuse me. But I just see the wrongs of the right, and I don't think I know everything about the world and how the world should be. But I have traveled around the country, around the world. I lived in Germany for 7 years. I lived in Korea for a year. I lived in Iraq for a year. I stayed in Kuwait for 2 years. I mean, for 2 months. I visit Europe, the European Peninsula. So, you know, I mean, no, I don't know everything about the whole culture and everything like that. But what I do know is when I'm there, I've interacted with people from another country. I try to learn Dutch. I'm not really good at foreign languages. But you know what's funny? But if you ask someone what language does German speak, they say, oh, they speak German. They do?
Mm-hmm.
No, they don't. You know, it's like, what language does the Chinese people speak? Oh, they speak Chinese? No, they don't. So it's kind of like American ignorance. And I'm glad that you're from another country and you can bring that different perspective of how your country was and how it was oppressed. And then come back to America, you can come to America and say, you guys are so blessed to have all these blessings and you don't take advantage of it. I just think that's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. Are there some places you try to avoid?
No, not at all. I mean, again, I am very confident in myself. And so, I mean, I know there's a lot of, I mean, especially women in my size, they don't want to go to clubs. They don't want to go to movie theaters or something because of the size, because they don't want to be criticized. But I'm so comfortable in my own skin that I will make a way. I mean, if there's no way, I'm going to make one. And there's no stopping me. And I mean, because I'm so comfortable in my own skin, when I walk into a room, all eyes are on me because they see, you know, it's like almost like a glow coming from me, like, okay, she owns her body. And so I don't really have a lot of issues like I get told by a lot of plus size ladies they have. But I mean, again, it has to do because I accepted my body. I no longer, you know, not like my body. I love my body, and I wouldn't change a thing.
That is awesome. I really appreciate that because for some people, it's an issue. Like when you walk into a restaurant and they sit you in food, like, I don't think you would say, oh, well, I can't sit in this booth. I think you would just sit in the booth and rock with it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right or wrong?
Oh, I had just recently, it was about a month ago, I went to a Chinese restaurant.
And this lady
walks me all the way across the room. And then in front of everybody, she says, oh, no fit, no, too big for this boot. And I looked at her, and I started to laugh. And then she walks me all the way across to another boot, and then she seats me. But, you know, somebody else would have crumbled. But to me, it was really funny, you know, like, did she just walk me across the restaurant just to tell me my butt is too big for this boot, you know? For me, it was funny, but somebody else would have fumbled and left. But,
right.
You know, since I, like, again, I'm so strong in my personality, owning my body, that I'm like, it was funny. I mean, I laughed. I even put it on Facebook. I it was hilarious to me.
Right. I see those things a lot, and a lot of people get frustrated and disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it happened to them, and then they said, well, they know, they should know better. You know, they should know better, and they should have proper respect or niceness or kindness to sit somebody, you know, that's big in a table or something like that. But in the same sense, a lot of people, they don't care. I mean, they wanted you to look bad.
Yeah, pretty much. But good luck. You gotta try harder with me.
So, does your family? Do you have any family in the States?
No, I came all by myself. I actually packed my bags at age 19 and went all by myself to the United States. And I told my mom, "I'm not coming back until I'm a superstar."
Well, girl, you are already on your way.
Yes, I am.
Oh, yes, you are. I got to ask this question because you said that, you know, you do certain things when you eat. Are you a good cook?
Yes, I am. I'm an amazing cook, yes.
Okay, now I have to ask you, can you make schnitzels?
Yes. I can make schnitzel in my sleep.
Really, I love schnitzels. Oh, my God.
Something else which is going to really shock you. I can cook the bomb diggity soul food.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can cook soul food. I can cook Chinese, Italian, Mexican, Lebanese, and let me see if I forgot any. Of course, all the German dishes. And sushi. I can also make sushi.
Can you make Korean food? I love bulgogi.
Yes, I can.
Come on. So what kind of soul food you cooking?
Well, I mean, I cook like the black eyed peas, the greens, the yams, mac and cheese, you know, all the good stuff. Oxtails, you know, all the good little stuff.
What do you put in your beans? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what kind of pork products you put in your beans to make it taste good.
The beans, the black-eyed beans, for example, I put them like in a slow cooker, and I use a lot of like, and then I add like some smoked turkey next to it. And then I use some, you know, smoked seasonings, and I just let them really simmer for a long time until they take in all that flavor, and it turns out amazing.
Oh, well, you got me at smoked turkey neck. I'm next time you cook something, you gotta send me a postcard or something, because I ain't had a turkey neck in Jesus. That should be like that, but turkey neck. That's right up my alley. Okay. I gotta answer this thing because we're talking about food and I love food. do you make pig feet?
Do I make what?
Do you cook pig feet?
No. I don't like no intestines or pig feet. No. No, thank you.
Man, I'm trying to get somebody to eat some pig feet with me. My kids always mess with me because they're like, oh, what's that smell? Dad must be making pig feet again. I'm like, well, come on, man. You know, I love that stuff. That's my, See, I grew up in Louisiana, and so I'm just used to eating some good food. You say you can cook some soul food. I'm like, what? Soul food? Yeah, my wife, she's an excellent cook. Man, she can make some gumbo out this world. I'm like, all right.
Well, if I ever come into your town, maybe your wife can cook for me and let me taste that delicious gumbo. I would love that.
Yeah, we have a little takeout restaurant called Bev's Gumbo Shack, and we sell gumbo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we sell it.
Oh, my gosh, how great.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh. You made me hungry
for
bratwurst.
Check that out. You're still on German food.
I lived in Germany for 7 years, and let me tell you, I didn't want to come back to the United States. It was a beautiful country. People were kind of rude a little bit, but, you know, I was American, and I was on the military base, so that's all right. But let me tell you, the food was amazing. Woo, man.
Now, if you go to Austria, the people are nicer.
Okay. Well, let me keep that in mind.
I'm just letting you know. I'm probably going to get slammed for that comment, but hey. It's true.
Well,
It's true.
It's true, huh? So, what? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about food, but I love food. So, because... Yeah, okay, so you say you make good schnitzel. Oh, my God. Okay, so I'm kidding. Oh, I need to go eat or something. So what are the main dishes in Austria that they eat, that you guys cook?
Well, the main one, obviously, is Wiener Schnitzel. That's, like, the main dish. Like, that's like, one of the, you know, most famous dishes in Austria. That and another one, it's called Schweinsbraten, which is pork roast.
That's the pig.
Yes, that's the pig. But not the feet, the belly.
Man, okay, I don't want to talk about your body, but you have the flattest stomach I've ever seen. With a lady with a rear end like yours, you have a really flat stomach. I mean, what do you do, a lot of sit-ups and curls?
I mean, I do sit-ups, but it kind of, this body came kind of, I mean, I hate, a lot of people going to hate me now for this, but it came natural. Like, I mean, even when I eat, all I gain in the hips. I don't gain on my stomach. I don't gain anywhere else. I just gain it on my hips. Like, that's from where my weight automatically goes to. It goes to my butt and my hips. And it leaves the rest of the body alone. It's like, I'm still trying to negotiate and say, hey, come on in now. Can we distribute it a little bit better? But it's not listening.
Well, you might have a problem if you have a turkey there with some black-eyed peas and you go try to sit in the seat airplane, you know what I'm saying? Because they're only making a problem. You know, the funny thing is, I'm still talking about food, but when I was younger, it wasn't until I was like 32, 34, I started gaining weight. I was always between 130 pounds to about 180. That was like the max. So when I was in high school, I was 130 pounds. When I got out the Army, I was 180 pounds. And now I'm at 245. But I dip back and forth between 245 and 230, but I only gain weight in my belly. I've got I don't know how to explain it. So you know the part underneath your armpits. You know how bodybuilders have those big things under their armpits. Mm-hmm. Like the big muscle. So, like, I've done a lot of seated rows and things like that. So I've got what I call a wing. That's what I call it, a wing. So it's really built up, right? And it's muscular. And then my muscles are, you know, I got nice little biceps and triceps, whatever. And I got nice little thick legs. But my belly, I can't get rid of it. And I'm thinking, I might have some enzymes, some bacteria in there. Maybe I could lose it like that, but I don't know. I know when I was in Louisiana, I was sweating profusely because of the humidity, and I lost a lot of weight. So maybe I need to move back to the South. But, you know, if I move back to the South, I will gain 1,000 pounds because I will be eating everything under the sun. So, okay, so.
I mean, what I kind of hear from the way you talked about it, you're almost looking at your belly as a different entity. And I think because you're not accepting your belly yet, that's why it's not moving. That's why you can't get rid of it. Because you're not accepting it. You're looking at it as another identity, entity. Like it's something else. You have the whole body, but then you have the belly. And I think once you start accepting the belly for who, you know, how it is, then your body will change.
Well, thank you. I will take that advice. I will take that advice. Shoot, accept. You're going to be. I accept you right now as you are. Look, I'm feeling my abs underneath my fat muscles. I can feel my washboard. Let me quit. Okay. I'm stupid. Okay, so I want to wrap up the interview talking about your video that you did about the world's biggest hits documentary.
Yes.
I would like for you to talk about that because I found that very interesting, and I know pretty much everybody on that documentary, which is funny. But how did they approach you? How did they approach you to be on, to do this documentary?
I mean, the lady actually found, I mean, this documentary is from the UK, and they actually found me on on Google because I have such a high prominence on Google, so that's why they ended up contacting me. And so they asked me to be part of this episode. I didn't know that they were going to put me in the category with, you know, a lot of those ladies who are obviously in the adult industry. So I was pretty much the only one that was, you know, handling a classy profession. So, but,
right. You
know, I cannot take it back because I didn't know I was going to be paired up with anybody like that. They told me something completely different when we signed the paperwork than was displayed later on, but I owned up to it. I mean, my segment was very classy, very nice, and I'm proud of it. It showed me, showed my journey. I spoke about my journey and, again, about, you know, how I almost died from my taking diet pills, and I got a very good response from it. I mean, so many women came up to me and said, you're an inspiration, and they loved it, and this documentary ended up getting picked. I mean, I ended up got picked up by Huffington Post, and it actually traveled all over the world. I mean, newspapers all over the world featured me. It was even funny because my brother called me, and he said, you could have told me you're going to be in the Austrian newspaper. And I'm like, I am? I didn't even know. So it ended up, you know, literally every newspaper. I mean, I had fans from Egypt, from Israel, Japan, everyone sending me like the articles. It was just amazing. And the outreach, I mean, so many women came to me and said, oh my God, you're giving me hope and you inspire me. And I never thought about becoming a plus size model, but thanks to you, I'm considering it now. So it was a lot of positivity came from that production.
That's awesome. I really, I've followed you. I've been following you for a while, and every time you post something, you know, you post something with positivity, and like I said before, you were like, you know, I'm in the process of changing my image, and then I think you turn your page into more of a model page than actually like a Facebook page per se, and I like the way that how you did it. It was like, you know, I'm turning in a new direction. My career is getting bigger and better, and I can't afford to have just anybody on my page, you know, because of, you know, what you're trying to promote. I thought that was awesome, and I made the cut, so I'm happy.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, see, when I first started modeling, I mean, I told you with the photographer, and then I booked a shoot with him, and I wanted to show, oh, wow, you know, I'm beautiful and I'm confident. So my first shoot, I photographed in lingerie, very classy lingerie, nothing trashy. But all of a sudden, I got my inboxes flooded with people offering me to do porn and all that. And what I didn't know back then was that, I mean, a lot of people like to use that term BBW, which stands for Big Beautiful Woman. But what people don't know is when you Google BBW, you will find a lot of the porn sites because BBW, unfortunately, is completely now taken over by porn. But when you Google plus size, you find fashion models and all that. So when I said I'm going to change my image, because I did that shoot, a lot of designers didn't want to work with me because they thought I was into porn. And that was not even the case. I wanted to show proudly, hey, I'm owning my curves. I'm loving my curves. But it wasn't portrayed like that. So I had to remove all those pictures and just start fresh and completely redo my portfolio to show them, hey, I am a serious model. I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I didn't plan to be a model. God just threw me into this field. I had no clue what I'm doing. I mean, now I'm grateful, you know, I know what I'm doing, and now I have a whole management behind me, and World Entertainment Resource Company. They are managing me, and they are really teaching me the business, how it's supposed to be done. I mean, I should have been blown up a long time ago if I would have known the business. But again, I was thrown into something that I had no clue about.
Right. So I guess the last couple of questions is I won't get too personal in your personal life. I already talked to you about what you're cooking, so I mean, I guess that's personal as you can get. Do you have a problem, not necessarily finding men, but finding quality men to go out or to take you on dates or to take seriously?
I think that's kind of like, women have that in general, like a problem that, I have, my inbox is full with men wanting me and all that. I mean, I get a minimum of 27 marriage proposals a day, but quality men, it's really hard to find. And I think the problem is because a lot of plus size women, they don't accept the body, they don't respect themselves, so they feel like, you know, in order to get a man, it's I need to, you know, jump into bed right away. I need to do this. I need to do that. And so, you know, I'm very classy, and I don't go that route. So I do have a lot of problem where men want to approach me in that manner, and I'm like, no, you're going to take me out to dinner. You're going to get to know me. And then maybe a few months down the line, if I like you, then we can cross that bridge. But nothing is going to happen up front. And unfortunately, I see this all the time. I used to go to clubs that were for plus size ladies, and I. Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
No, I went to clubs before that was actually, that was specific clubs, and I would see those ladies, and they would just like throw themselves at men and you know, no self-respect. And unfortunately, because of their behavior, it's making it hard for, you know, women, ladies like me, because I don't feel the need that I need to throw myself at somebody. I mean, I'm a beautiful woman, and if you don't respect that and you don't see that, then obviously you're not the person God has intended for me.
Right. Well, man, I think we can end it on that one, because that was just like, what God has for me is just for me.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, if you're good enough for me to cook you some chicken necks, turkey necks, then maybe. Potatoes on a bake first. Oh, Jesus.
I mean,
okay.
If you would see some of those inbox messages, you'd be like, where is your manners? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to do a couple YouTube videos about it, because some men have straight up lost their mind.
Oh, I'm sure they have. I've seen some very disrespectful things that people say. And I can say that I used to be that in my youth, and I'm getting better. And God is healing my heart and my mind. I ain't out there being one of those men. I'll just put it that way. I'm working hard, you know. And you know what? You know what's really funny, and not funny, ha ha ha. But because I do this radio show and I approach people about my show to promote their brand and who they are, sometimes it's tough for me to get those, you know, people like yourself on my show, because they think that I'm trying to hook up with them or trying to scam them or something like that. So I think, it's all about how I approach people. And sometimes I get too excited because, you know, like, for example, like, I never thought you would ever come on my show, but I'm excited that you did. because I'm having so much fun and able to promote who you are as a person. And I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to give you an interview and be on my show.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, is there any
the pleasure is all mine.
Woo! Yeah, so if you ever come again, make sure you stop in my area. So
oh, I'm going to stop at the gumbo place. I want some gumbo.
Yeah, for sure. Get some of that gumbo and have it, you know. And then you can give my wife your schnitzel recipe, but she already has one. That's great. But maybe you can, you know, show her another schnitzel deal or something.
Okay. You want
so
that schnitzel.
You can close by, you know, saying some final words to the audience. And we didn't have any callers. I apologize. I thought I'd have more callers, but I didn't have any. So it is Sunday on the West Coast.
Yeah. I want to, from the bottom of my heart, thank everybody that's supporting me. And if you want to follow my journey, you can go on my website, claudiaflorence.com. And also I have Instagram, plus model Claudia Florence. I have a YouTube channel. I would love if you could subscribe to that YouTube channel, which is also Claudia Florence. And all my social media, you can, mainly if you go on claudiaflorence.com, it will connect you to all my social media sites. And if you want to know more about me, then please follow me. And if you want to see me on a more personal level, please subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Awesome. So can I ask you a question?
Sure.
After you come back from New York, are you gonna post some reviews or something to show everybody what you did in New York as far as your fashion
shows?
Okay, so
yeah,
go
ahead. I interrupted you.
No, I'm sorry. I was just wanting to know if I could share that with my audience on my page.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome.
You can definitely share that with your audience, and I will document everything on YouTube as well. Like right now, I've been documenting pretty much every day what I'm doing. Like today, I did a photo shoot, and every day you're going to see a video of me doing something for my personal life or professional life, and everything is pretty much documented. But feel free to share anything you want to share with me. I appreciate the cross promotion, and I appreciate your radio show. And if you want me to come on down the line again, I would love to.
Oh, awesome. That'd be great. Well, thank you. You have a good night. And enjoy yourself in New York. And I hope you do a great job, which I know you will do. So thank you very much. You have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A lot of y'all won't get this, but a lot of you will. We have puppies and kittens in the house. It's time to go solo. All right. So this is Sound Off Forum. I'm your host, George Beverly. And the next time I see you or hear from you, you should be sounding off.
heard a brother say, living in bad conditions can make you feel like no one is on your side. That's why I always try and do my best to serve inside. But I knew it wouldn't be a day when I had to look the other way. So I closed my eyes and
kept on pushing,
just stop looking.
Got two shoulders.
I told myself to talk to my Jesus and never listen to no one if they can't be true to you. No one should spend precious time living for material things.
It's money, no money, no money.
What make me happy? Looks a lot clearer outside, 'cause I'm using my eyes, yeah.
My eyes, hey, keep on pushing, just stop looking.
Oh,
guess who showed up?
My friend what?
My friend won't let you down.
Yes.
He's always been around. That's one thing.
All in one day, but I take no credit for the blessings that he's given to me. Without him, I know that city could never, ever, ever be. See, check it out, y'all. When I thought it couldn't get no better, the true story too. When I thought it was